Good morning, and thank you for coming out for day two of our two-day Yarche Kala on Tefillah. For those who weren't here yesterday, although I think almost everybody here was, for those who weren't, you can now find Rabbi Weintraub's shiur from yesterday online on KosherTube, and God willing, this one will be up there as well eventually. Couple of notes. First of all, as you can see by the table in the back, and the truth is looking around, I think many of you already are, we have supporting membership cards out by the coffee and Danish table. It's an opportunity to support the work of the Beit Midrash at a fairly low level. It's $36 a year, an opportunity for people to say thank you, and also we provide an annual members shiur, which you will find out about, God willing, once we schedule it, as well as an Ask the Rabbi hotline. So if you're able to do that, that would be great. If not, please continue to come to shiurim anyway. We'd love to see you. Okay. The topic I'm about to speak about, the question of what overrides minyan, it tends toward the practical side. There are all sorts of cases which come up for people, so therefore I want to give my standard disclaimer, which is that I am speaking about a halachic topic, but I am not paskening. For matters of psak, for a person who has a practical situation they need resolved, please speak to your shul rabbi. Your shul rabbi should be the one with this headache. Okay. In order to answer the question of what overrides minyan, and you can actually see on your sheets on page 4, the back page, I gave you some applications, potential situations, such as where the only minyan that's available is before sunrise, and that's not considered necessarily the ideal form of davening shacharis, or if the weather is bad and I don't feel well, if my wife needs help feeding the children and it happens to be the same time as Mincha Maariv, I need to be at work, I need to be at school, I want to go camping and there's no minyan at the campsite, all these different questions. In order to answer these, we basically first, I think, need to answer the question of what minyan is. How do I view minyan? We have an obligation to daven. We have a mitzvah of davening. That's Baruch discussed yesterday a little bit. Del Raisa, Del Rabbanan. Where does it come from? But what exactly is this idea of davening with a minyan? So we begin with source number one, and a Gemara in Brachos, in which someone does not go to minyan. I'm going to assume for our purposes that Sibur and Minyan are identical. Okay? That's a safe halachic assumption, although there are things we could discuss in that regard. But Amar le Rabbi Yitzchak le Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, "My time alo asi mar le beknisha le saluye. Why didn't the master come to shul? Why weren't you in shul for davening?" Amar le lo yachilna. And Rav Nachman says, "I couldn't make it." Happens. Doesn't explain why. We don't know if he's sick. We don't know if he was otherwise occupied. Lo yachilna, couldn't make it. Amar lei, lef nefila mar asara v'litzli. So he says, well, we should gather 10 together, and you'll be able to daven with a minyan at home, even if you weren't able to make it to shul. Amar lei, trichali milsa. He says, it's too much of a pain. Trying to get 10 together to make up a special minyan when I can't make it to shul is too much of a tircha, too much bother. Okay, so why don't you look for house calls? Not really a house call exactly, but a wake-up call or something. Try to arrange it so that they'll notify you when the tzibur, when the minyan is going to daven, and that way you'll be able to daven at the same time that they're davening. So Amalei Maikulei, he says, what is all this? Why is this such a big deal? So I daven without the minyan. Amar Lei, to which he replied, Rabbi Yitzchak replied, Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Mai Dichsiv Anis Filasi Lacha Hashem Eis Ratzon, he quotes Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, saying the following pasuk, My tefillah, my prayer comes before you, God, Eis Ratzon, at a time of desire. What does that mean? Emasai Eis Ratzon, what is this time of desire? Bisha'a Shahat Sibur Mispalalin. At the time when the community davens. So the statement he makes to Rav Nachman is, you should at least daven at the time that the minyan is davening, because that is an Eis Ratzon. That is a time of special divine desire. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, gives me the same idea from a different pasuk. Ko Amar Hashem, so declares God, be'es ratzon inisicha, at a time of desire, I responded to you. And then we get a third pasuk. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehacha, Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina draws on The following source, Hein Kela Kabir Velo Yim'as. God is mighty. I'm taking it in the literal sense. God is mighty, velo yim'as, and he will not reject. But the way that we take it here is slightly different. We take it as kabir lo yim'as, that God will not reject the kabir. The kabir means the mighty. If you think of the song Adir Hu from the Seder, kabir hu, we describe Hashem as mighty. Mighty here refers to the masses of people. Lo yim'as, Hashem will not reject the kabir, the masses when they daven. Uchsiv, and then one more pasuk. Pada b'shalom nafshi mikrav li. Hashem redeems my soul from battle. Ki berabim hayu imadi. Because the many were with me. Hashem is going to save me. I call on Hashem to save me because the masses are with me. That's another source for the same idea that you should be davening with the tzibur. Now, if I were to take this Gemara literally, straightforwardly, in the most simple approach, then I probably would assume that the three psukim that we just brought, Vanis filasi lecha Hashem eis ratzon, Komar Hashem beis ratzon, and Komar Hashem beis ratzon and isicha, really the two go hand in hand. They both declare there is a time of eis ratzon, a special desire. I would have taken that, and the next pasuk that talks about Hashem not rejecting the masses, the kabir, and the next pasuk that says Hashem will respond ki b'rabim hayu imadi, that the masses were with me, therefore Hashem is going to save me, I would have taken them all b'chada machta, in one spoon, so to speak, and say they all refer to the same thing. They're all saying daven with the community on some level. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, for those of you who saw source number 4, Rav Moshe Feinstein sees a difference in these psukim. He says that the Eis Ratzon sentences that we just saw, the first two sentences that we quoted, Vanis filasi lecha Hashem Eis Ratzon, and Komar Hashem Eis Ratzon in Isicha, the idea that there is what we call an Eis Ratzon, a time of desire before God, he sees that as linked to time. It's addressing Rav Nachman's situation. Rav Nachman, you can't make it to shul, daven at the same time that the minyan is davening, because that's a time of desire before God. That's one. Second, beginning with Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanina, we say Hashem will not reject the tefillah of the masses. That means you have to daven with the masses. It isn't sufficient to daven at the same time. It's not talking about Rav Nachman trying to synchronize his prayer at home with that of the shul. Rather, it's talking about the initial point that Rav Nachman really should have davened in shul, because when you daven with the masses, then you have your tefillah is somehow accorded special attention. Hashem is going to respond. So we have two separate ideas. The first idea is daven at the same time the community is davening, because it is what we call Eis Ratzon, a time of desire. And then a second idea, that you should try to daven with the community, be there with them when they are davening, and that's where you should be davening as well. And the Gemara continues with a brisa, the source contemporary to the Mishnah, but not canonized in the Mishnah, that echoes this idea. Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Rabbi Nassan says, Minayin She'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mo'ez B'Tfilasan Shel Rabim. How do we know God does not reject the community's prayer? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, we just quoted it, Hein Kel Kabir Lo V'lo Yim'as. He will not reject. He will not reject the kabir, the masses. And then he quotes the next pasuk: "Uchsiv pada b'shalom nafshi mikrav li ki b'rabim ayu imadi." God will answer me and will redeem me because many were with me. And then it concludes: "Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem declares, kol ha'osek b'torah b'gvilut chasadim. If a person involves himself in Torah and in kindness, umispalel im hatzibur, and one davens with the community, not just at the same time, but actually being with the community, then." Hashem says, I consider it as though you had redeemed me and my children, the nation, the Jewish people, from among the nations of the world. That's the idea of padav b'shalom nafshi, pidyon being redemption. Okay, I'm going a little bit quickly because we have a lot to cram in, but if something's not clear, please stop me. We've seen here in source number 1, as Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to explain it in source number 4, that you have certain psukim that mandate davening at the same time as shul, as the minyan, and we have certain psukim that actually mandate davening with the minyan proper, that you should be part of the minyan. Take a look now at source number 2, please. Source number 2 is going to introduce us to a third idea. Tanya, Abba Binyamin Omer, Abba Binyamin says, Ein tfila shel adam nishmas ela bebeis haknesses. A person's davening is heard only in shul. Shneamar, because the pasuk says, Lishmoa el harina ve'el atfila, Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash is going to hear the rina, the song, and the tfila, the prayer. Bimakom rina shamte tfila, the place of the singing, that's the place where your davening ought to be. And Amar Ravin Bar Rav Ada Amar Rav Yitzchak Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Matzo Beis HaKnesses. How do you know Hashem is found in Shul? Shnemar Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel, because the pasuk says Hashem is found Ba'adat Kel in the community of God. We understand that to be a reference to a minyan specifically. The magic word there is Eida. We understand that to refer to a minyan. Hashem is found with the minyan in Shul. And then he continues to say, how do you know that if 10 daven together, then Hashem is with them? Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel, once again, same pasuk, Hashem is there with the Eida. But here, by mentioning Beis HaKnesses specifically, that introduces us to the idea that place matters. Even if there's no minyan, even if it's not the time when there's a minyan davening, nonetheless, there's value in being in the Beis HaKnesses, in the shul. That's not the way that the Rambam takes it, though. I do mention it because it's important to note, and actually there's a piece by the Pe'er Aharon where he talks about this as a possible debate about whether the space matters or not, a debate between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. It's a good discussion in its own right, not for right now, but take a look at source number 3, please, where the Rambam clearly does not think that it's about place, but rather it's about being with the community, where the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Tefillah, laws of prayer, Tefillas HaTzibur Nishmas Tamid. The prayer of the community is always heard. Va'afilu Hayu Ben Chotin, even if there are people among them who sin, not that there ever are, but hypothetically, if there were. Nonetheless, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mo'ez B'Tefillas En Shel Rabim, Hashem will not reject the prayer of the community. Lefichach Tzarech Adam L'Shatei V'Atzmo Im HaTzibur. So you have to be with the Tzibur. V'lo Yispalo B'Yachin, and don't daven alone. Kol Zman Sheyachol Yispalo Im HaTzibur, if you can daven with the community. U'l'olam Yashkim Adam V'Yariv L'Beis HaKnesses, he says get up early and stay late to go to shul. She'ein tfilas ha'nishmas b'chol eis ela b'beis ha'knesses, because it's only heard in shul. That's where your davening is heard, when you are in shul. Now one might say, maybe that just means the physical space. He clarifies, v'chol mi she'yesh lo b'beis ha'knesses b'iro v'eino mispal bo im ha'tzibur nikra shachein ra. He says, if you have a shul and you don't daven with the tzibur in it, that makes you a bad neighbor. Now, what do you do if there's more than one shul? So you have to be a bad neighbor to somebody, or you have to ask them to all stagger their davening times. But the statement here from the Rambam, he says it twice, is that one has to join with the tzibur. It's not about the space. It's not even about the time. It's about davening along with the community. And so, Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva, which some of you saw in source number 4, I apologize, I really ought to have brought the Gemara as one of the sources that he quotes here about Bene Amudi. For those who looked at that and didn't understand Makom de Garci, he was talking about whether there's a preference for davening in a shul or davening in the Beis Medrash where you learn. That was the at the expense of Minyan. That was the piece that I really ought to have brought as a separate source here. And for those who looked at the Igros Moshe and figured it out anyway, kol hakavod. But the way that Rav Moshe approaches this is, he says this is indeed a debate about whether one is supposed to daven at an eis ratzon at the time when the minyan is davening, or whether one is actually supposed to daven with the minyan specifically. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochai, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, on eis ratzon, just say, daven at the same time as the minyan. Whereas if Achab, Rabbi Chanina, who brought Hein Kel Kabir V'lo Yim'as, and Ki B'Rabim, means you should daven with the minyan. And he sees it as a debate between Tosfos and the Rambam, where Tosfos in the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Amud Beis says that that you could daven where you learn over davening in shul with a minyan. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to disagree. And the way that Rav Moshe plays this out is that within the view of Tosfos, davening with a minyan is a good thing to do. It is a fine form of davening, but it's not a mitzvah in its own right. Whereas a court, and therefore he's willing to override it for the benefit of, let's say, davening in your base medrash where you learn, even without a minyan. Whereas the Rambam takes it as a chiyuv. The Rambam takes it as an obligation. Your davening has to be b'tzibur, if at all possible. Why? Why should it be more than just a good thing to do? Why should this be an over and above thing? So if we had time, I would turn this into a discussion. But we don't, so I won't. Rav Moshe says, in a separate tshuva, it's in Igros Moshe Arachayim Beis Chav Zayin, he says, because the Gemara already informed us that that's how your davening is heard. And davening which won't be heard doesn't fulfill your obligation. My mitzvah of davening, such as it is, whether deraisa, derabbanan, etzara, whatever it is, my mitzvah of davening is daven in a way that Hashem will hear it. And he says, I'll prove it to you. He brings a few different sources. One of them is here in source number 5. I'm going to say it outside of the text. We learn that if a person davens when they need the washroom, the davening is not accepted. And he actually needs to daven again. We have a separate halacha, that if a person davens near a dirty diaper, and they should have known that there was one in the space, and they didn't even bother to check, then also the davening is rejected, they're required to daven again. This is called a davening which is to'eva, which is something that Hashem rejects. Why is it that my davening is no good? Says Rav Moshe. Because that's a davening which Hashem isn't going to accept. Hashem looks at that and says, you didn't have proper respect for the davening, that's not a davening that is acceptable to me, and therefore you would need to actually daven again. Your davening has to be in a form in which Hashem will want to accept. This may also be tied to the Mishnah in Brachos that I did not bring on here, which says, Ha'osa tfilaso keva ein tfilaso tachanunim, that if somebody davens by rote, simply saying the same words without any new thoughts and without any intent, then the davening is not acceptable to Hashem. Why? Because it wasn't a person didn't do it in a way in which Hashem is going to desire it. The davening wasn't done in a format that that Hashem would want. But that only pushes the question one step further. Rav Moshe is saying the reason why I have to daven in a minyan is because it's accepted in a minyan. Rav Moshe is saying Tefillah is accepted in a minyan. Therefore, you have to daven in a minyan because you must daven in the way in which Hashem is going to accept it, doesn't address the question of why. Why am I obligated to daven in a way in which Hashem will accept it? Why isn't it enough to just say the words? Why is there this added obligation? So Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his Shuas van Hagdos, in two separate pieces, offers a couple of ideas. One idea that he offers in Shuvas van Hagos, Chelek Hey Mem Aleph, people are flipping the page, but I didn't quote it on here. In Hey Mem Aleph, Rav Moshe says it's because we are taught that davening is like a karban, right? We parallel our Shmona Esrei to the karban. We view davening with a community as like a karban tzibur, a communal karban. And the rule of a karban is that it has to be brought for ritzui, l'ratzon. It has to be brought in a way that Hashem will desire it. So that we have a pasuk that says, Kol asher bomum lo sakrivu, don't bring an offering to God if it is blemished, ki lo l'ratzon yelachem, because Hashem will not desire it. And I brought you the Gemara in source 6, the Gemara Tzemura, that says that indeed, if Hashem isn't going to desire it, then one is in violation of 5 different prohibitions by bringing such a karban. He says, because it's a karban, and a karban has to be brought in a way that Hashem will accept it, your tefillah has to be in a way that Hashem will accept it. So if you know that as a communal tefillah it will be accepted, that's the way then that you would be obligated to daven. He says that's why communal tefillah will be accepted. Because communal tefillah, communal prayer, is like a communal karban, a communal offering. And the magic of a communal karban is that it counts for everybody. Whether they're good, not good, communal karban works for the entire Jewish people. When we have a karban olah that's brought in the morning, the karban tamid, the daily offering that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't say, well, that only works for the Jews who are righteous. It doesn't work for everybody else. It works for the nation as a whole. And he proves it from a Gemara, well, he brings it from a couple of sources. One is from a Tosfos in Tzvachim that deals with the question of Shinui Bailim. To make a long story short, the rule is that if I bring a karban, and then the Kohen who's doing the Avoda, who's bringing my karban for me, has in mind that it should be for somebody else, he disqualifies the karban. He has had a different owner in mind. However, if it's a communal karban, we say there's no such thing as shinui bailim. There's no such thing as having somebody else in mind because we're already all included. It's for the entire nation. There's no one left out. And they ask, well, what if he has in mind someone who isn't Jewish? No, that's not relevant. They don't ask the question of, well, what about if he has in mind a wicked person who didn't count? The answer is there's no such thing, because a communal karban works for all of us. Righteous, not righteous, it doesn't make a difference. Similar idea, if you see the sources 7 and 8 that I brought you there on your sheet, the Gemara in Sota that says that the communal prayer will be accepted even if it's not kehogen, even if it's not done perfectly. It's Rashi on that Gemara, quotes the pasuk we've already seen, Hein kel kabir v'lo yimas, that God is not going to reject the communal offering. They discuss that there in terms of davening in other languages. And so, in source number 9, which is the tshuva that follows the one that I've been quoting, it's the next one, but he continues the idea, he says that when one davens with the community, everything one says counts. He has a very interesting idea here that I'll take a moment to unpack. He says, we know that if a person wants to do a mitzvah, but doesn't succeed in doing it, they have a machshava tova, they have a good intent, but he doesn't get to carry it out because something prevented him, Hashem will consider it as though he did the deed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaaseh. Hashem combines the thought with the deed that he wanted to carry out. So Rav Sternbach says that when a person joins himself with the community, it has the same effect. Somebody wants to join himself with the community, he wants to daven, Hashem is going to consider him joined in for the good. And only the davening that he did that was good will be joined in. Anything that he said without proper kavana, without proper intent, Hashem ignores. Hashem says, I'm not going to count that against you. He only considers the good and joins you with the tzibur, joins you with the community for the good. So that's one idea of Rav Sternbach, that the reason why I am supposed to try to daven with the community is because, yes, the community feel as accepted, and since it's a karban, I have to daven in a way that it will be accepted. That's one idea. Second idea, more briefly, from a separate piece, this is in Shulchan Aruch Argos Aleph Tzadites, is he says it's built into our davening. Take a look at source number 10, please. The Rambam describes the structure of our approach to God, and he says, Mitzvah zu kachi. He says, this is the mitzvah. She'e adam mischanenu mispalo v'chol yom. For a person to daven every day, umagid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak the praises of God, and then to ask for what he needs, right? Shabbat, and then bakasha, praise, and then requests. And then he thanks God for all the good he has received, and each person should do this according to his abilities. So he gives us what we know as the classic three-part structure that we see in Shemona Esrei, where we praise first, and then we make our requests, and then we thank. That's the... That's what the Rambam mentions in source number 10. Where did the Rambam get this idea from? So the Kesef Mishnah commenting on that Rambam brings you source number 11, which is a Gemara in Brachos, which says, indeed, that we should daven in this way. First, we should say Shabbat, we should praise God, and then we ask for our needs. And it says that we get that from none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is our source for doing this. So Rav Sternbach says, the point of learning from Moshe is not to say, do precisely as Moshe did. Meaning, Moshe used these words, therefore you must use these words. That's not the point. Rather, what we're learning from Moshe is that Moshe structured his tefillah. He didn't simply approach God and spill out his words. He came up with a thoughtful structure for how he could maximize the odds of acceptance of his tefillah. And that's what we are obligated to do when we daven. Just like Moshe approaches Hashem having planned out how is it going to be accepted, so too I am obligated to approach God and think first, how is this going to be accepted best? And if the answer is by davening with a minion, then that's what tefillah is. It's supposed to be that way. There's a little bit of irony here. in that his example of Moshe's tefillah is taken from when Moshe davens to get into Israel. Right, it's the one that wasn't accepted. So we're learning the fact that you should structure it in a way that it will be accepted from Moshe's attempt, which was structured so that it will be accepted, but which ultimately wasn't. But there's a lesson in that also, I think. We do the best we can. It doesn't mean that we have any guarantees. But that's to summarize what we've said. The Gemara praises davening with a tzibur as well as davening at the same time as the tzibur, and even this piece about davening in the place where the community normally davens. The Rambam rules that one should be davening with the tzibur imat tzibur. Rav Moshe sees that as a debate on whether davening with a tzibur is a good thing or is actually a mitzvah. He himself comes down on the side that it is indeed a mitzvah. And the reason why it would be a mitzvah would either be because davening is like a korban must be brought in a way that maximizes its acceptability to God, so too tefillah does, or because I'm supposed to structure my tefillah, by definition of tefillah, as we learned from Moshe, in the way in which I have the greatest odds for it to be accepted. Now, there is a big question that comes along with this approach, which I'm totally going to duck. And the question then is, we classically distinguish between men and women. And we assume that males have this minyan idea, and that women do not. According to what we've said, that this maximizes the possibility that the tefillah is going to be accepted, then ostensibly, it should apply to men and women, right? The Gemara asks, why is it that women are obligated in davening altogether? It's a time-bound mitzvah, and usually that's a mitzvah that women will be exempt from. It answers, it's rachamim. Everybody needs to approach Hashem. Everybody needs to converse with Hashem and ask for their needs and so on. So therefore, really, I would think that this should be for women also. So maybe if there's time at the end, I will tackle that a little bit, but otherwise we'll never get to anything else. I'm just pointing it out because you have to point it out. It's an issue. There's a whole other issue regarding minyan, which I'm going to discard with a 30-second comment, even though it deserves more. And that's the piece in source number 12, which is, there is a separate issue of Dvarim Shebikdusha. There are certain things you can only do with a minyan, right? Kaddish can only be said with a minyan, Baruch Hu, Kriyas HaTorah, all these other things that require a minyan. So maybe there's an obligation. Even if you take the view that minyan, in terms of something God's going to listen to, is a nice thing, but not an obligation, maybe there's an obligation that a person can hear Kaddish, that a person can hear Kedusha. What about that? So I'm dismissing it because of the words of the Ramban in source number 12, in which the Ramban writes that it's actually Chovas Tzibur. The Ramban, commenting on a Mishnah in Megillah that lists items that need a community, says these are all a chova of the tzibur. The community has to have it. But I, as an individual, if I'm not in a group, I have no personal obligation. There's much more to be said about that, but because we have this idea that they are communal, and I believe that is the way that we paskin, I didn't want to get sidetracked in that when there's so much else that we have to see. Just know that there is this other issue. Okay, so we have this debate as to whether davening with a tzibur is mitzvah, Rambam, or mala, a good thing to do, from Tosfos. There is evidence on both sides. One of the key pieces of evidence is source number 13, the story of Rabbi Eliezer. Story goes that the Gemara brings this as part of a separate conversation. The Gemara's question is, if there are 8 regular Jewish males, and then there are 2 avadim, okay? 2 avadim. So, can the eved count towards the minyan? So the Gemara says, well, take a look at this. The story of Rabbi Eliezer goes into shul, finds that they don't have 10. He frees his eved, and that way there is a 10th. So the Gemara says he had to free him. Had he not freed him, he wouldn't have counted. So the Gemara says that shows that an eved doesn't count for a minyan. And the Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe he had 2 avadim with him, and 1 eved would have counted. 2 avadim would not have counted. That's a side note. But the key is he frees his eved in order to be able to daven with a minyan. And the problem is, as the Gemara says on the second line in source 13, Vehechi Aven Hachi, how did he do that? We know that there is a mitzvah Leolam Bahem Ta'avodu. There is a mitzvah of, if somebody is an Eved, for him to continue to be an Eved. Why that's so, what that's all about, the ethics involved, are a great discussion for another time. Right now I'm simply stipulating that this is so. So how is he allowed to free his Eved? He has a mitzvah keeping him as an Eved. To which the Gemara answers, L'dvar mitzvah sha'ani. The Gemara answers, he did it for a mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, well, mitzvah ba'averahi. If he's violating the law, keeping him as an eved, then that's a mitzvah coming at the expense of a transgression. So the answer, mitzvah derabim sha'ani. Yeah, but it was a mitzvah for the community. So, based on this, I would then say, if you're telling me that he frees the eved for the sake of this mitzvah, what does that mean minyan is? Mitzvah. Right? Otherwise, if it's just a nice thing, how does he justify it for this? Freeing the eved, it seems to indicate that it's a mitzvah. So Ramban says, not so fast. Ramban, in source number 14, says, not necessarily. Maybe the reason why he did it, he offers you a couple of possibilities, but for example, he says, we have a Gemara that says that if there's a time declared as the time for minyan, and Hashem shows up, and there aren't 10, Hashem is angry. So Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about that, because he wants to avoid that problem, and that's why he frees the Eved. So maybe there was a special reason for him to do so. However, Tosfos here, and I brought it in source number 15, says no. We see here, he says, that davening, even though davening he's taking it as a derabanan, overrides the biblical mitzvah of keeping the Eved. Ramban has another idea that says maybe the reason why he's justified for him to free him here is because he's getting something out of it. He's not simply freeing him, sending him away, you get, you got your get out of jail free card. But rather, he's getting something in return, and therefore it's justified. But the point is that this is brought by some as proof that it's a mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer in his Hashmatos Chelek Vav Pei Vav says that this shows that it's a mitzvah. Rav Avadya Yosef says not so fast in source number 16. Ravadia says this case may be different. And again, I would love to turn this into a discussion, but we're already half an hour in, so I won't. But Ravadia makes 2 points. Number one, he tells you that there are those who say, Rabbi Eliezer, what he did was Midas Chasidus. It was a measure of piety. Special piety. But number two, he says, this is a different story, because it's not just about getting to daven with a minion. It's about creating the minion. The minion wouldn't exist without him. And maybe there's a higher level of obligation in being the tenth than in simply joining in with a minion. So he says, don't bring it from there so quickly. But that's one source that's brought. Rabbi Eliezer freeing the Eved does seem to indicate something about the importance of minion. Another source that's brought to support the idea, and it's really the second of two that we're going to bring, is source number 17, where the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Take a look, please, at number 17. Haholech baderech, if a person is traveling, v'higia la'ir v'rotze lalunban, he gets to a city and he wants to lie down, he wants to go to sleep for the night. Im lefanav ad dalad milin makom shemispalin bay, if along his route he could travel another 4 mil. 4 mil, roughly 4 kilometers, 72 minutes travel in as the Gemara times things. If he could travel another hour and get to a place where there's a minyan and it's along his route anyway, then, Sarach Lelech Sham, he has to go there. Ula Acharav, what if he would have to go back? He's already passed the last shul. He'd have to go back now and lose time. Then, Sarach Lachzar Ad Mil, then only up to 1 mil. 18 minutes travel would be his obligation. Kedelis Balo Biyud, so that he can daven with 10. That would be his requirement. I made the assumption that you can convert the distance into time and say 1 mil is 18 minutes, so therefore it's 18 minutes travel, as opposed to just saying it's 1 kilometer's travel. That's actually subject to some debate. But the very fact that the Shulchan Aruch is going to say to you, you have to work for this. You have to travel 72 minutes this way, 18 minutes that way, in order to be able to accomplish that. It doesn't say that regarding just a mila, just a nice thing. That indicates that this actually is, indeed, a core mitzvah. This comes from a Rashi of Sachem Daf Mem Vav, Rashi in Chulin Kuf Chav Beis. And the Shulchan Aruch is not making it up. Not only that, the Tshuvos Binyan Olam, in source number 18, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chever Wildman, who was a student of the Vilna Gaon, says that that if you're at home, and you live in a big city, and the shul is more than a mil from your house, or more than 4 mil from your house, you don't have the right to say, well, I guess I'm exempt from davening in the minyan, because the shul is too far from me. He says, if you're in your community, you're not traveling on the road, then you'll actually be obligated to travel the entire city in order to be able to get to a minyan. And Rav Moshe has a similar tshuva like this. It's brought in the Aruch HaShulchan and Aruch Chaim Tzadi, Sif Chav. It's brought in the Mishnah Brura, Simen Tzadi, Sif Nun Beis, Sifkan Nun Beis. And Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, this to me is proof that it's an obligation. That minyan is not just a nice way to daven, but it's actually obligatory. So we have two proofs. One, the freeing of the slave, freeing of the eved, although we noted that you could argue with that. And then second, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch rules that you have to actually go to great lengths in order to get there. But there are sources on the other side also. Because otherwise this wouldn't be a shir. You have sources on the other side too. Number one, the story of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman himself, one of the greatest of Aram O'Rayim. I don't know how you decide who is the greatest and who's not the greatest. I'm calling him one of the greatest. I think it's fair. But Rav Nachman says it was too much trouble, right? Lo yachilna, I couldn't get there. I don't know what lo yachilna means. I don't know if lo yachilna means that I was very tired. I don't know if lo yachilna means I was ill. I don't know what lo yachilna means. But he says, I couldn't make it, and I wasn't going to do all the different steps that were described. I'm trying to gather a minion there. On the other hand, the whole discussion that flows from Rav Nachman's story, right, where they bring all these sources for davening with a minyan, indicates that other sages disagreed with him. But Rav Nachman may well be seen as proof. Rav Moshe Sternbach disagrees and says, no, Rav Nachman is unique because he would have had to create the minyan. Okay. Another source that's brought to support the idea that it's just a nice way to daven is source number 19, the Mabit, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Yosef Detrani. In a work called Beis Elokim, gives us the history of davening. And he says, you know, you never had a minyan classically. He says, Mizman Moshe Rabbeinu ad HaKnesses HaGedola, from the time of Moshe until the Anshei Knesses HaGedola in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Haisa Shechina Nigles B'Mekom HaKarban, Hashem was revealed in the place of the Karban in the Beis HaMikdash, Vaisa Nevua Adayim B'Yisrael, there were prophets, Vaisa Nishmas Tfilas Kal Yachid V'Yachid Berkhas Ola Kel Yisbarach Al Hana Asa Mizeha Olam, and a person who davened as an individual to thank God for what he received or to ask Hashem for something, Hashem heard him personally. And he says, "Vezeu atam etzli amashenira ki ba'osu azman lo hayu miskavtim yisrael b'choma kamos moshe osam erev avokim etzarayim b'makom yuchal espalbo tefilas tzibur ela kol echarayim espalbo b'yachad b'makom sheyizdamei lo." He says, that's why in those days you didn't have people gathering together in a place to daven. Hashem heard them each individually. He says there was no such thing as davening with a minyan. He says you won't find in Tanakh, you know, in Yeshaya, in Perek Nun Beis, suddenly giving a klaf minyan. He says they weren't davening with a minyan. That's the position of the Mabit. Rav Ovadia Yosef says absolutely not. He disagrees. He says, first of all, the psukim that we brought to support the idea that Hashem listens to the prayer of the community included psukim from David HaMelech, included from Shlomo. And he says, I don't believe these are an asmachta, just a link to a pasuk. It's from the pasuk itself. Number two, he says, the Yerushalmi and Brachos, which I brought you in source number 20, seems to indicate that they did come to the Beis HaMikdash as a place to daven during the first Beis HaMikdash, that they actually are. So Rav Ovadia is of the position that actually, historically, people came to the Beis HaMikdash to daven. It's a remarkable question. And we do find the Gemara says explicitly that Daniel davened three times a day, but it doesn't say that he had a community to daven with. It says he davened three times a day. But that's a debate as well. If you're going to tell me they didn't have it, then how can you say that this is a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah invented by the Anshei Knesses HaGedola. The Mabit is not so comfortable with that idea. Maybe the Mabit would be okay with it, but the later sources that quote the Mabit in support of this view wouldn't be so comfortable. But that's the second argument against saying it's a mitzvah. The third argument goes back to the language, and this is brought by the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer was asked a question by somebody who wanted to go to medical school, and it would require him to live in a place where there would be no minyan. So the Tzitz Eliezer notes that the language of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that we saw never said you are obligated to daven with a minyan. We never saw the word chayav. We never saw you have to. The closest we came was the word in source 21, the first word there, yishtadel adam, that one should try to daven with a minyan. One should work to daven with a minyan. Maybe that indicates that it's really not obligatory. Rav Moshe says absolutely not. Rav Moshe in source 22 says that the point is, the reason he uses the word yishtadel, that you should work to do this, is because when people start to make their calculations about how much strain it would take to get to Minyan, and they start to equate other strains with a trip of more than a meal, so the Shulchan Aruch is telling you, work at it. Don't just write it off and say, well, there's this strain involved, and it's yucky outside, and whatever, and therefore I don't want to do it. You should work at it. That's where Moshe resolves it. Finally, one last point, and I'm going to summarize what we've got. Is Rashi in Brachos. When we said back in the Gemara in Brachos that Rabbi Eliezer freed his Eved, he freed the Eved in order to make a minyan. And we said, well, wait a minute, even if it's a mitzvah achieved through an Avera, right? So the Gemara's answer was, mitzvah derabim sha'ani, a communal mitzvah is different. What was the communal mitzvah? Rashi in source 23 says, lahotzi rabim yidecho vasam v'kedusha. Rashi said the mitzvah was that everybody should hear Kedusha. Rashi doesn't say that the mitzvah was to daven with a tzibur, to daven with a community. If it's a mitzvah to daven with a community, why didn't Rashi say that? Why did Rashi pick Kedusha instead, which is a chovas tzibur? So maybe that's a reason to argue that it's just a mila. So again, to sum up, we saw already in the beginning that there are two potential views. One, that there is a mitzvah of daven with a minyan because that way your tefillos will be accepted. And the other, the possibility that it's simply a mila. It's a good way to daven. Rabbi Eliezer freeing his eved indicates that there is a real mitzvah involved. Saying that I have to travel to get to a minyan indicates that there's a real mitzvah involved. On the other hand, the fact that Rav Nachman doesn't strain to go gather a minyan, the history of it pointed out by the Mabit, the fact that the language of the Halacha Sfarim, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't say chayav, that you're obligated in those, in the standard wording, and the fact that Rashi here didn't say that the communal mitzvah Rabbi Eliezer was fulfilling was tefillah b'tzibur, those all militate for the statement that it's a maila. It's a very good thing to do, but it's not a mitzvah. The poskim in practice are split on the issue. If you take a look on your sheet, I gave you a little bit of a digest there. The Vilna Gaon and Rav Chaim of Volozhin are quoted as being very, very careful about this. Rav Sternbach says they were known to actually hire 10 people, or I guess 8 if it was the two of them already, to make a minyan whenever they traveled anywhere. The Chasim Sofer said, as I mentioned earlier, that is a mitzvah. Rav Moshe Feinstein believes it's a mitzvah, or Sternbach believes it's a mitzvah. Rav Avadia Yosef seems to me to conclude his tshuva saying that it is indeed a mitzvah. On the other hand, there are others who disagree and say it's just a choice way of carrying out the mitzvah of davening. The Chavos Yoyer of Yar Bakrak, the Krach Shel Romi, which is a very interesting halacha sefer written, or set of tshuvos really, written by the chief rabbi of Rome. Until I read him on this, I only knew of one famous tshuva of his. His first tshuva, he talks about whether you're allowed to use tunes from the church in davening. And he talks about the chazan in Rome going to listen outside the church and hearing the tunes and then using them for davening. That was the only tshuva of his that I heard people quote. Now I have tshuva Zion in which he says that there's no mitzvah of minyan. Even a derabban, he says it's a maila, it's a good thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach seems to have said it was a maila also. Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked the question about using an elevator in a hospital, not a special Shabbos set elevator. And the Nishmas Avram, he is quoted as saying that if you wanted to use an elevator and have a non-Jew be the one to push the button, you couldn't do that in order to get to a minyan in the hospital, in order to get to the hospital chapel where they're davening. So he seems to not rank it as a mitzvah. There's a whole other piece on this from the Maharil that I brought you in source 24, but it's beyond the scope just in terms of time. There's too much else that we have to do. But you see that the halakhic authorities are split. Now, knowing that we have these two different views, you might be tempted to say that we approach our applications as simply as either it is a mitzvah, and therefore you can't skip it, or it's a maila and you can skip it for need. But it's not that simple, because many of the needs that people articulate for wanting to not be at minyan, for wanting to do something else, are actually mitzvah needs. And we have a principle, I brought you some sources on the sheet about it, ha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah. We're on the back now of the pamphlet. Based on the Gemara in Sukkah, which I brought you in source number 27, we know that people who are involved in a mitzvah are exempt from doing other mitzvos. there's some discussion about whether I need to strain in order to fulfill both. According to Tosfos, if I can manage both, I'm obligated to. According to the Ran, I am not obligated to. The Shulchan Aruch sides with Tosfos and says I have to try to satisfy both mitzvos. The Rama, Ramosha Isserles, as well as the Mishabura, as well as the Aruch HaShulchan, say no. If I am involved in one mitzvah, I am exempt from any other mitzvah at that time. So, even if minyan is a mitzvah, I'm going to be exempt if I'm engaged in another mitzvah. So now let's get to our applications. Let's talk about some of these practical cases that I listed for you on the sheet. First of all, if it's just a mila, if minyan is a mila, it's a good thing to do, it may be overridden in a case of simple need where I have some kind of a need. Whereas if it's a mitzvah, then it can only be overridden for one of three things. Either another mitzvah, saying, well, I'm involved in another mitzvah, therefore I'm exempt from this one. Or there is some kind of strain involved which is so great that it overrides a mitzvah's asay, an active mitzvah, which we do have, there is such a concept. Or if I would have such a lack of kavana in davening that there would be no mitzvah of davening anyway, if I was davening there. The classic question that was put to Moshe Feinstein, I could daven in shul, but I have no kavana then. Is it better for me to daven alone? So if you have, as Ramosha says, if you have such non-kavana, such non-concentration, that you can't even think of the meaning of the words and you can't think of the mitzvah of davening, you don't have the most minimal kavana, then don't daven in shul. But if you have the most minimal, then he says you should daven in shul. But let's look at our cases. Number one, the only minyan available is before sunrise. So there's a whole separate shiur about the question of davening before sunrise, but the pre-Yitzchak, the Tzvi Yitzchak Pederberger, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss, and Rabbi Yisrael Belsky all say daven with the minyan, even if it is before sunrise. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Yalkut Yosef, the son of Rav Avadya, and Rav Elyashiv all say daven alone. So the answer on that issue is indeed that it is split. We have views on both sides. What about the case where it's cold, it's snowy, it's rainy, it's icy, and I don't feel well? So I think if you take the view, as many poskim do, that minyan is a mila, that minyan is a good thing to do, but not a mitzvah, then I think one would be entitled to be mocha, one would be entitled to say, it wouldn't be a good thing to do, but I'm not going to throw up my back or get a cold in order to do this. And what about if it's a mitzvah? Well, if it's a mitzvah, and we call it a mitzvah sa'asei dirabanan, so a mitzvah sa'asei dirabanan does not override significant pain and illness. Meaning that if someone knows he's going to get sick, if someone knows he's going to be in great pain, then he would not be obligated in this mitzvah sa'asei dirabanan. He would be able to claim an exemption from that. If, on the other hand, it's just a little achy, then I think it would be harder. What about the husband whose wife needs help feeding the baby? So if it's a mila, it's a good thing to daven that way, then I think helping your wife feed the baby would override. What if it's a mitzvah? The answer is it probably still gets overridden. Because if you take a look at source number 31, you see there, Rav Moshe Isserles lists Shalom Bayis. He's dealing with a completely separate topic, but he lists Shalom Bayis, Shalom Bein Ish LeIshto, as Sorech Mitzvah. As pursuit of a mitzvah. If it's going to wreck Shalom Bayis, peace in the household, as the husband runs out and the wife is juggling all these different obligations, then indeed I think it would override. It's also worth noting that it's also an act of chesed. Even though you're obligated to help out, so using the word chesed sounds funny, nonetheless, it's an act of chesed. And given that we say things like the Gemara and Brachos, which I brought you in Source 32, that bringing in guests overrides a shir, overrides learning Torah, I think there's something to be said for arguing that the chesed of helping one's wife would override even if I view minyan as a mitzvah. Now there's one more note on that you can't leave before the end because I have to get to a caveat on that. But hold the thought because I wanted to get to a couple of other practical cases first. What about the person who says I need to be at work, I need to be at school? So without a doubt, and there are many halachic sources that support this, parnasa is considered sarach mitzvah. Being able to make a living is in and of itself considered a tzorech mitzvah. It's a mitzvah pursuit. How much parnasa does a person need? That's a question. In other words, at what point do we say, okay, but he doesn't need to be there at this time. He could go into the office a little bit later, and he'll be just fine. He could arrange the time that his business opens differently, and then he'll be able to attend Minyan. That's an argument that that could be made. But I have a long list of sources that say that Parnassa in general is considered to be Tzarech Mitzvah, the pursuit of a mitzvah. Not only that, the involved in the mitzvah doesn't just mean when I am right now involved in it, but it's the backup steps that get me there as well. So the I'm going to skip the source on the page in the interest of time, but there's quite a bit to support that that idea. What about the person who wants to go camping or wants to go on vacation? So this case is a bit more complicated, because now we get into a separate problem. The case of the camping is not a case of, here I am, it's 4:30, Minyan is 4:35, and I'm at home, and I want to go, am I going to shul or not? Now I am actively entering a situation in which I will be more than 4 mil from a Minyan at the time when I'm obligated in Minyan. So if you ask me this evening, I will already be out of the periphery of a minyan, and therefore I will be exempt. The question is, am I allowed to put myself in a position of exemption before the chiyuv, before the obligation begins? There are various parallel discussions to this, such as the discussion about going hiking in an area where you won't have access to a sukkah, which Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses. Or the Minchas Chinuch discussion about when you have a Korban Pesach, a person who sets himself up to be outside of the perimeter of Yerushalayim, and therefore is exempt from Korban Pesach. So this really requires a longer discussion, but in general, if we view it as a maila, then I think it can be justified. Because now you're putting yourself in a position where even the, you know, it is only, so to speak, a good way to daven, and you'll be and you will be exempt at the time when this maila actually kicks in. If it's a mitzvah, then I think it's harder, but it really requires a shear in its own right. But with all of these, and in particular the case of feeding the children, in the case of work or school, it's important that this not become the way a person lives all the time. You know, a person cannot put himself in a position in which this is now going to be his life. He's always going to be missing Minyan. I thought I had another piece in my notes. Yes, I did, which I skipped. So I'm going to mention it very briefly now. There are outside concerns involved in missing Minyan, separate from, do I have an obligation to daven with the community or not? Number one is the part that we already saw, the Gemara that says, if you live in an area where there's a shul and you don't go, you're called a shachin ra, a bad neighbor. But number two, the Rama writes that a person who misses Minyan causes other people to take Minyan lightly. So that he says, even someone who has an exemption must make sure that he not act on the exemption too often, lest that lead other people to say for themselves, also, I don't need to be a minyan either. And then there's the above and beyond. The spiritual life and communal life of a Jew who doesn't daven with a minyan because of work, because of home, or whatever it is. You know, the Gemara says that a person is a bad neighbor if he skips out on going to shul. Because there are other issues involved as well. It's not only about, do I have an obligation to daven b'tzibur under the technical definition of davening. It's not healthy for me, as a Jew, as a member of a Jewish community, to take myself out of that for my religious activity. The Rambam talks about a poresh min hatzibur in the harshest of terms. Poresh min hatzibur is someone who separates from the community. And he says it means someone who does mitzvos. He just chooses to do them on his own. So even if I have an exemption, I don't want to put myself in that category by staying away from Minyan. One last note, and I'm going to stick around obviously for questions and so on, and if anyone wants to stay until 12:45, we can make a Mincha Gedola Minyan, but I won't hold you that long. But the last source on the sheet, we've seen quite a few reasons to daven with a Minyan. We saw the idea that Hashem is present and it's an Eis Ratzon, a time when Hashem will desire your tefillah. We've seen the idea that davening with a tzibur encourages others to do likewise and you're part of a community. We saw the idea that even if we aren't perfect, our tefillah, our prayer will be accepted when it is in a community. These are all important. But take a look at the last source from the Kuzari. Rav Yehuda HaLevi says, in describing why we would daven communally. He says, "Hayisrael makahal mikam upon him." He says there are many reasons why it's good to daven with a community. Mehem among them, ki akahal eina mispalim b'mashiyish bo hefsed liyachid, v'yachid efshe shispal b'mashiyish bo hefsed liyachidim acherim.
He says, when people daven as individuals, they all have their own desires, right? I'm going to be traveling on the road, so I daven, God, please don't let it rain, right? What about the farmer who wants rain? When people daven as individuals, they end up making selfish requests that can harm others. In the tefillah of the community, you will have addressed the needs of each member of the community.
And he continues to say, "Umitnaya tefillah ne'enes shetia b'meshayoel ha'olam v'lo yezikeu b'shum panim." He says one of the conditions for a davening to be answered is that it be something that will benefit the world and not cause harm. That's one point. And then he makes a second point. Umeham, well, the third line. Umeham, another reason is, "Shema'at hu shetishlam tefillah le'yachin mi'belish gaga u'pshia." He says it's very rare that an individual gets all the way through davening without a mistake. He says, therefore, the sages established that we should daven communally. Why? So that those who make a mistake will have it completed by others within the community. If I missed a word, if I didn't have kavana for this bracha, somebody else did. Somebody else got it right. And the result will be that as a collective, we will have a complete and pure davening. And there will be a bracha for everybody that will then benefit the whole. From the fact that we all participated together, each one of us brings a piece of the puzzle that creates collectively a wonderful tefillah. And I think also, if I can take the liberty of carrying that over from davening to Beis Medrash, that's also the advantage of learning in a Beis Medrash that we did here this morning and as we did yesterday. When a person learns alone, as the Gemara at the end of Brachos says, they may make mistakes and no one catches them. And so for a practical level, it's good to learn in a community and learn with a chavrusa and have others to participate with. Excuse me. But also, when you learn together as a group, it creates a Beis Medrash as a whole, an opportunity for people to join in together. And the lacking that one person has at some point, if they get distracted or they need the coffee or whatever it is, is made up for by the fact that other people are learning. So when you learn collectively, you know, call it Talmud Torah Bitzibur, collective communal learning, that also has this advantage that the Kuzari outlines. And I mention that in particular because...